As we talk about the rules of improv, we go to rule number two, which is don't ask open-ended questions. What that means is, let's say you're in a scene with another person, and an open-ended question would be like, "How are you today?" That an open-ended question means there's not a right answer or a wrong answer. There can be a variety of answers. And so in improv, what that does is, one, it can stall a scene. You can have a scene moving forward, and then all of a sudden someone will throw out an open-ended question, and it causes the other person to have to come up with an answer. Because if he doesn't answer the question, then the scene doesn't progress. It's better to have that, just answer your own question in your mind and say that instead. The other thing is, by asking open-ended questions of how are you, what's the weather like today? There are certain questions that are asked that don't necessarily need to be asked, when you can say something instead, like, "You look down today," or, "Man, it's so warm outside." You've established a setting, or you've established somewhere where this scene can go. And at that point, that person can accept what you're saying and move the scene forward as well. So giving your partner a suggestion instead is a big deal. And then the last thing that I would say to fix the problem would be, say specific things to your partner, and make them look good while doing it. So it's one of those cases where, instead of asking the question, just answer it yourself and move it forward. So when I looked at that rule, don't ask open-ended questions, I found that in our spiritual lives, we do this quite often. We actually end up asking this question about ourselves and our lives more often than we think. And there's two questions that I think are very prevalent in our times, and with certain age groups. I don't think, at some point, I think maybe these questions can be answered, but I do think people struggle with them often. The first question, of the two that I have, is the first one is, what is God's will for my life? What is my purpose? That's an open-ended question. When we ask that question, usually it's because we have options in front of us and we're going, "God, where do you want me to go?" So when I hear someone come to me and say, "I don't know what God's will is for my life," I think that they have an answer, but they haven't looked for the answer, if that makes sense. So let's look at scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4 gives us a clear indication of what God's will is. It says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth." One of the things of the will of God is that all people would be saved. God desires that. God's will is that. So when you ask, what is God's will for my life, I would almost venture to say, what is God's will, and where, how can I move that forward? 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." It's the idea of stop asking God what his will is and actually start moving. It's the same with improv. When you're doing improv, when you start asking open-ended questions, you're halting the scene. When you start asking open-ended questions to God in that sense, we start halting our lives. And what we really need to be doing is, "For it is God's will that by doing good," acting, moving, doing something, "you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people." Matthew 28, 19 through 20, which I believe just incorporates so much of who Jesus is and what he wants us to do. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What I love about that is that he gives us clear indication of what he wants us to do as Christians. It is not the idea of go to this specific place. Sometimes he'll do that. I do think that there are times where people have a calling somewhere. But I also think if you're sitting at home waiting for that calling and not doing anything, you're not doing the will of God. The will of God is to do something, do good, go out and make disciples. He's got a clear indication of what he wants, what his will is in the Bible. The second question that I hear a lot, and I think that it's not only in something that someone says audibly, but something that someone fights with inside themselves. The question is, who am I? We see the problem with this question in people's lives concerning gender identification. We see this where people want to be unique, so they dress a certain way or they act a certain way, or they got to go out and buy this in order to meet this criteria, in order to fit in with this group of people. We see it even like from teens all the way to adults. Adults will go and buy the boat so they can be with a certain group of people on the lake. It's not even about their family. It's actually about them and their well-being and fitting in. When asked, how are you doing, we often go to the external things of how we're doing. It's oh, my job's great. I got to fix my house, or something like we're all sick, or it's something of that nature. And we do it because we want to fit in, and we haven't clearly answered the question of who am I. We've asked it with an open-ended mentality. When God is answered in the Bible who we are, and let's look at that. Psalm 139:13-14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God answers the question right there. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. God has put you together with full respect, with full concentration. He put everything into you, and then you were wonderfully made. You are unique. You are a child of God. You are different than other things. So you don't have to find the material stuff to figure out who you are. You are already someone in Christ. And Matthew 10:31 says, "Fear not, therefore, you are more value than the sparrows." He actually has an illustration Jesus does whenever he talks about about the lilies of the field and how they clothe the field. And he says, "How much more will I take care of you?" And then he says, "Look at the birds of the air and how they feed. How much more will I take care of you if I take care of them? Because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique. You are different than any other of the creation that God made." And so he speaks into that. So who are you? You are unique. You are God's child. And you are special that he would take care of you even more than anything else. And then finally, Romans 5:8 is the gospel. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even though we do things wrong, even though we're asking this question of who am I, God? What is my purpose? What is your will for my life? And we're going on and we may sin, we may fall flat on our face. Even in that, God died for you. God sent his son to die for you and took all the punishment of sin so that you don't have to. And so we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and serve him and love him and become better, have a better relationship with him. And then through that, I think that whenever you start acting when it comes to the will of God and you start moving, doing good things and sharing the gospel and being a Christian like God's called us to be, there, I think at that point, he starts turning the wheels of where he wants your life to go. And then who are you? You don't have to look to culture to figure that out. Just look to the Word. The Word clearly states, and the scripture that I've mentioned is just a snippet of what God has in his 66 books that he put all of his breath in, and what he has, the wisdom that's in there that would help you in those insecurities and those doubts is incomparable to anything. And so I tell you, get into the Word. And when you ask that question, what is God's will for my life? What is my purpose? Dive into the Word and find it. It's there. There are going to be some things where you don't know, but there's going to be a lot of things that he reveals to you. And then who are you? What is your worth? What is your identity? Your identity is in Christ if you are saved. And so find that, get into the Word and find that, and write those scriptures down and repeat them over and over every day. Get rid of that self-doubt and start relying on Jesus to answer those open-ended questions.